Just because you're intelligent doesn't mean you're intelligent. That's profound right there. You can write that down if you'd like. There's been a theory tossed around, and I just want you to see it because it is what it is. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ just for a minute. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Okay? Jesus Christ is just as much God as God in heaven. He just happened to be in a man. He took that on so he could fulfill all the sufferings and temptations of man, being without spot, to go to Calvary and be our sacrifice. Okay. The theory that was tossed around for a while, and you've heard me talk about it before, was Jesus didn't know who he was until he was 12. Okay, and I've heard that from many intelligent people. Intelligent. I mean, guys that know the scripture better than I ever will. But here's where they messed up. That kind of theory gets people thinking and puts, this is what I don't like. I don't like question marks behind dogmatic principles of the Bible. I don't like question marks. Don't put a question mark behind my Bible. It's the Word of God with a question mark. No, it's the Word of God with an exclamation point. Okay? Jesus Christ is God's Son always. Exclamation point. Okay? There's never a time he didn't, you say, well, he was just a baby. So? He's God. Ask him when he gets there how he knew. But let's look at Psalm 22. Can you look at that with me very quickly? Psalm 22. If this ever gets brought to you, and it's amazing how often it gets brought to me. I would think that it would happen once in my lifetime. It's happened to me a half a dozen times in my lifetime, where preachers go, think about this. Maybe Jesus didn't know who he was because God gave him marching orders. Remember when he went to the, oh, why are you looking for me, Mom and Dad? I must be about my Father's business. And that's where Jesus all of a sudden got the insight that he was who he was. I don't know how, that's an evil Knievel jump over Snake River Canyon for me. That to me is a giant leap, okay, that's what that means. All right, I want you to see this. In Psalm 22, verse 1, can you tell me who this is speaking of? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you have any idea who that's speaking of? This is Old Testament. Amen? But it makes sense when you go into the Gospels and see Jesus on the cross saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That this is talking about Jesus Christ. Amen? Look. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. You say, well, God certainly heard his son. Do you know why he didn't hear him here? Do you know why? When Jesus Christ took all of our sins on him, God had to turn his back on his own son. That's the righteousness of God. He took all of that sin on him. All of your sins that you just committed 2 seconds ago, wishing that Sunday school really didn't happen. Those sins, that sin that you took on, Jesus took that sin on him. When he took that sin, God couldn't look at him. God couldn't partake in him because God's holy and cannot have sin. Why should we preach against sin? Because God preaches against sin. Why should we preach against sin? Because you ought not sin. Why should we preach against sin? Because sin is wrong for your life. And can you get completely out of it? No, because you're a sinner. But you ought to try. That's old-time preaching right there. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. He's talking about God the Father. Jesus is saying this because he knows who his daddy is. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. This is Jesus talking. Well, sure, that's what he looked like. Because of your sin and my sin and their sins and all the sins. Of all the people, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Can you hear the mockery there? Have you ever had that, Christian? People mock you. You're Christian. Why is this happening to you? If God loves you so much, why are you going through bad times? You ever had that mockery? You trust in this, that God loves you more than the mockers hate you. Look at this now. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Now wait a minute. This is before he's ever born. Amen? Thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. Wait a minute. This is prophecy here. He knows that he's going to know his daddy when he's on his mother's breasts. He knows. Well, wait a minute. When is that? What is he, 12 then? You better not be. Is he a baby? He's a baby here. He's going to know who his daddy is when he's a baby? Well, sure, he's God. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. When? From when? From 12? See, this is what it does. This stupid, foolish thought. And you say, at first I thought, well, it's just dumb. You must know what this does. Anytime you take anything away from Jesus Christ being the Almighty God, you put a question mark behind your Savior, which puts a question mark behind your salvation. You can't do that. You can't. If he was didn't know who he was until he was 12, he may have sinned. If he didn't know what his end game was, to me, it makes it so much worse that he was a baby and allowed to sin. He was not allowed to sin. He had to be perfect from his mother's womb on. And I know this is silly, but I don't want you to ever... There's things you can't put a question mark behind, folks. There's things you can't do it. If you do it, then your salvation is in jeopardy. You put a question mark behind the Word of God, that puts a question mark behind your salvation. How's that possible? Because where'd you get your salvation? The Word of God told you all about it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you don't have it, then you didn't get that faith. And if your faith has a question mark, so does everything else. As you look at this Psalm 22, you might say to me, well, preacher, this is Old Testament. How in the world? See, this Old Testament lets me know Jesus is telling you, I know who I am. When I'm born, I'm going to know who I am. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. You know, Jesus is telling you a story. He's telling you a story in Psalm 22. Through whoever this is, a Psalm of David, but whoever penned this, it's God's words. Don't get wrapped up in who wrote what. God wrote this. And he's telling you about how bad it's going to be. About how he is going to know who he is. What makes it worse, folks? An 11-year-old knowing that he's going to be the Savior of all man. Knowing what he's going to go through. To me, man, Christ is good. Don't you ever take anything away. And I know you don't. But I get so tired of people trying to intellectualize the Bible. Try to put their spin on it.
But because of Jewish tradition, this God didn't know who he was until he was 12 years old, because that's when they get their marching orders. So Jewish tradition says, take the traditions of men, put them in the toilet. I'll plunge them down. And then just trust God.
Here's the thing, be stupid for once in your life. Be stupid, and I know that, whatever, I'm not downplaying you. This is the way I approach the Bible. I'm too dumb. I've got to have the Bible tell me. I don't tell it. I don't try to change this to fit what I think. I just read it. And then I tell you what it says, and we together learn about Christ, because this is what he wants you to know. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to make this difficult. I'm trying to say that Jesus is telling you that I was cast upon thee from the womb. Well, what's that telling you? Come on, folks, what's that telling you? He knew who he was from a baby. He's telling you, Christian, don't worry, I know who I am. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm done with that. All right. What endures for eternity? We talked a little bit about this last week. We talked about his mercy endures for eternity. Boy, aren't you glad about that? His righteousness endures for eternity. His praise endures for eternity. His name and his memorial endures for eternity. His word endures for eternity. You knew I'd get to that eventually. His strength endures for eternity. Turn to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You know, in a day when we feel, we may not say it, but we feel that the Lord is getting weaker because of the things that are going on, because of the things that people are saying, because people are trying to convince you that the old paths aren't the right paths anymore. People are trying to convince you that we've got to have rock bands and we've got to have things. The old paths are weak. The old paths aren't going to get it done. The old paths, I'm going to tell you right now, according to the Word of God and the authority therein, God's strength is everlasting. Our problem is we've become stronger than we ought to be. What happens in our life, when is Christ the strongest? You know when Christ is the strongest? When you're the weakest. Okay, now listen, and take this for what it's worth. Christ's strength is everlasting. The Bible says that. I mean, just look at it and that's what it says. The problem with us is we get into our lives where we no longer need Christ's strength for survival. We no longer have to depend on Him. We start to depend on ourselves. We ask God to... We'll go ahead and bail out the boat instead of asking God to stop the rain. We'll do everything in our power before we go to God. Tell me that's wrong. You do everything in your power. You do everything that you can do. God, what can I do? And by the way, that Bible principle states that God's going to help those that help themselves. But understand this. Along the way, God, what should I do? God, what can I do? And I think you ought to get up and I think you ought to do something for God's got a. God is not a couch God, okay? God is not a sitting God. God wants you to get up and God wants you to do the work that God wants you to do. The problem is we want to do it how we want to do it. Amen? We want to do it how we want to do it, not how He wants us to do it. We want to do it as the way that, well, God will get more people in here if we have Starbucks in the foyer. That could very well be true. And it might be true. You might show up for free coffee. Okay, but at the very same time, you're not here then for why God wants you to be here. I was talking to Brother Gray the other day, and Brother Gray was talking about contracts in churches today. It seems to be going that direction where preachers are asking associate pastors to sign contracts and Christian schools are getting their teachers to sign contracts and all these things. And he was telling me, you know what the sad connotation of that is? The pastors are tying their associate pastors, the churches are tying their pastors, the pastors are tying their teachers, and all these things are happening to make you do the work for the Lord. Think about that for a minute. Whose strength is that? Whose strength is that? That's not God's strength. That's tying you to a piece of paper. Hey, you sign the paper. Hey, you sign the paper. You sign the paper, that means this. You sign the paper, that means this. You sign the paper, that means this. Look at these three things, subsection 2AB plus this. You sign this, that means you have to do it. How about I love God, and because I love God, that's why I'm going to do it. What happens in our lives, we forget that our life is a ministry. You say, I'm not involved in anything. Oh, yes, you are. Your life is a ministry. What you do with your life is a ministry. Don't go in your own strength. Go in God's strength. It's amazing how quickly we get wrapped up in this whole wide world saying, well, I'm going to make you do it. Colton, you said this. I'm going to make you do it. I'm going to make you do it. It's the only time he doesn't fight me back. I'm going to make him do it, and I'm going to go in my strength, and I'm going to tie him down. You better let God be the one that makes you do it. And let me tell you something, Christian. If you'd let God make you do it a little while, we wouldn't be looking for help so much. The amens went about 50% on that one. We want to do what we want to do, but we don't want God too much. It might interfere with my life. God might interfere with my plans today. So we go out in our own strength. We go out in what we want to do. And you might be strong. You might be the mightiest person I know. But if you don't take God with you, where are you? God's strength is everlasting. I'm 43 years old. I'm telling you, I feel like I'm one-third less strength than I used to have. Jordan and I are sitting back there cutting up a tree, and Jordan is as strong as a stinking ox. And we're sitting there cutting up a tree, and I'm trying desperately to move these dumb things. I said, forget that. I jumped on the back of the tractor. Thank you, Lord, for the tractor. Amen. I don't know what God has for you. I don't. But he has something. Let God be the one that ties you to it. I tell people when they come to sign up for the school, don't sign up for me. Don't sign up for the preacher. Don't sign up because your friends pressured you. Sign up because God had you sign up. By the way, if it goes bad, you can blame God. You say, well, that's dumb. Is it really? Because I get blamed a lot. I'd rather have them take it to God. I'd rather have them try to figure out, why did God have me do this? Because God is an easier one to say, well, God did it. See, what happens is this. In our lives, we want to manipulate. We want to do things. That's why the Bible changes. That's why the churches change. That's why you get the emerging church. That's why you get all these dumb thoughts about Jesus didn't know he was. That's why, because man wants to do it how man wants to do it, not how God wants him to do it. We wouldn't need to have contracts. We wouldn't need to have papers signed. We would. By the way, I'm never going to have a teacher sign something. If you don't want to serve God, don't work here. Amen. Let me say that again. You better get right with God. I'll talk to my teachers right in this room. You better get right with God and understand this is a ministry of God. This is not a ministry put on by Pastor Dave Ballard. I'm a mess. You all know that. You all call me on it all the time, how much of a mess I am. You better serve God, though. You better get it right in your head that you're here for God. You're not here for a paycheck. You're not here for a thought of how great you can be. You are here to serve the Almighty God. Don't you come in your strength. I need you to come in His strength. It's amazing to me how quickly we get all out of sorts. Associate pastors will tell you they get it all the time. I wouldn't do things like the preacher does. And I'm going to be right up front with you. There's times that I have looked at Pastor Skyler and said, good Lord, have mercy. But here's what I've come to grips with over the years. That's God's man. And I serve God. I'm going to be loyal to that man. Amen? Amen. To sit here and say I've agreed with every single thing that he's done to be stupid, and you wouldn't believe me for a minute. I mean, I'm his son, too. Sons don't always agree with their dads. Amen. Whatever. Sons seem to know everything. I'm getting to the point in my life where I've forgot a lot of that stuff. But I came, 3 years. 3 years I served, and I've told you this a lot. 3 years I served him, served dad, my own strength. I came to church in my own strength, serving God because I felt that was the right thing to do. And by the way, many people start that way anyhow. I'm not saying that that's, but that's the way I did it. I came when I wanted to please my dad. I came to grips with something real fast. If I please God, my dad will be pleased too. But if I please him, my God will never be pleased. So I decided to go ahead and try to please God. I haven't always done it. Come on now. Neither of you.
Right.
I haven't always pleased the Lord. I fail probably more than I win. But at least I'm ready to admit that to you. Some of you think that you never don't please God. Every step you take is sanctified by the Lord. Some of you feel like God, the angels sing, oh, 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 oh. Every time you sit on a commode, the cherubims run back and forth in that holy room. If that be true, why am I plunging so much? There's one thing you need to know. You may not like this, but you know what? One thing you need to know. You've got a ministry. What are you doing? Whose strength are you going in? You say, I'm too old. Whose strength are you going in? You say, I'm too achy. Whose strength are you going in? Whose strength are you going in? I've got diabetes. Whose strength are you going in? I'm not saying your diabetes are going to go away, and those aches and pains are not going to go away, and those things are not going to go away. Your age is not going to go away. It's going to go up. It's not going to go away. What are you doing with your, whose strength are you going in? Right now, this brother's in pain every single day of his life. I'm praying every day, God, please. But he doesn't go in his strength. He hasn't missed a beat. Still doing his class, still doing the best he can with his strength that God's given him. Mike Sells, you missed hardly anything when you was in all that pain. Let me tell you something. Stop. Carl, he weighs like 80 pounds now. He won't eat nothing. No, wait. I hate calling people out, but I love calling him out. It's my favorite. I pray to God I can do what he does. He doesn't go in his strength. He doesn't have any anymore. Just being honest, brother. God has to help him. He's got every reason in the world not to come to church. Come on, help me, preacher. Help me. He's got every reason not to come to church. His wife is no longer with him. His one flesh has gone to heaven. He has every right to stay home. He's in pain every day. He's got the right to stay home. He's weak every day. He's got the right to stay home. Where is he? See, what strength do you go in? What strength do you go in? Whose strength do you go in? What do you do? See, God's strength is everlasting. Your strength is not everlasting. I'm telling you, I have got on the top of my head probably 20 ministries that have been started at Bethel Baptist Church that did not make it because they started in their own strength, continued as long as their strength would take them, and the ministry fell off. Help me now. Well, I started a ministry that failed. Then you failed to go in God's strength. Let me tell you something. Your Hattie ministry will go down the commode if you don't go in God's strength. Huh? See, the thing is, we get this process. And this process, this is why I hate, we clap more than a rock concert around here. We clap for everything. My hair's brown today. God. Whatever it is, what it is. I just get a kick out of it, you know. What happened when the applause stopped for you? Huh? No, I'm asking you a question because I want, boy, this sounds hard, but I want you to think differently. What happens when you no longer get back padded? What happens? I'm telling you, I could give you a list of people that will not make it from church from week to week if they're not told you how great they are. Whose strength are they going in? This is bitter medicine this morning. I'm not apologizing. It's just bitter medicine. I've had people come through here that unless they read you their resume, they can't make it another week. Huh?
Let me tell you what I did this week. Glory to God, I did this and this, this and this and this. It's wonderful how I am. We can clap now.
What happens when you're no longer getting accolades of men? Does your ministry stop? See, your ministry should not be contingent on man's praise. If you don't get called down from the preacher, you should not be going home like this.
Amen.
He talked about Brother Bobby. He didn't mention what I did. And because he didn't mention what I did, I'm stopping. I quit church. I quit that ministry. If I'm not going to be appreciated by the pastor, I'm going to leave. Then you're serving for the wrong reason. What happens is this. You, in your own strength, revert back to being an infant. And we don't have a lot of baby Christians here, but we do have some. We wonder why my Sunday school class never has people in it. See, this is what's amazing to me. This is what's amazing to me. Hey, listen. God still lets us breathe. He lets us breathe. He lets us walk. All the turmoil we give Him, all the junk we give Him. If I was God, Joel Osteen's whole stadium. Because the travesty that is. Oh, talking of the great old Osteen. I didn't think that he would ever do that again. Stick around. I don't ever a lot. I worry about our thought processes. I worry. Hey, look, let me help you out. There's days that preachers don't want to do it. I got to be honest with you. There's days that preachers do not want to continue on. Usually Monday. Right after Sunday. It usually happens because we feel, and what's funny is, preachers mostly feel like they failed God. Mostly. Honest to God. You come in here, altar gets packed out, and you go home saying, man, I don't know if I did a good job. They come to grips with the fact that they have no strength of their own. Every time before I preach, let me let you in a little bit. Every time I get sick, I'm so stinking nervous every time I get a chance to preach, do a funeral. Any time I'm serving God in that capacity, I get so nervous, my guts get tied up. Why? Because I'm doing something relatively important. And I can't go in my own strength. What you need is not me. What you need is Him. And so when you go to start a ministry, first of all, you better pray about it. Oh, my soul. You better pray about it. For years, I was tearing preacher up. For years, Dad, we got to start a Christian school. This is stupid. We got to start a Christian school. These other schools out here are nuts. They're thinking going crazy. When you start a school, I don't know, buddy. I said, what? Are you kidding me? There is a need. Let's start the school. And you're a kid. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Dad, oh, no, let's pray about this, son. Let's pray about this. I wish you'd have prayed about it for another 6 years. That's what I wish you'd have done. No, wait. I knew. And we sat down, and my dad told me, son, I'm not starting a school until I know God wants it. That's the old man teaching the young kid. Amen? That's the old man teaching the young kid. By the way, you old people need to teach our kids some things. And you kids need to listen to the old people. Why? Because they're not stupid like we are. Hey, say what you want. Young kids don't know what you know. Why? Because you've been around a lot longer. By osmosis, you've learned more than we know. What you need to know is this. By the way, you are supposed to be doing something for God. I know I keep saying that, but you are supposed to be doing something for God. You better pray about it when you think that you're supposed to. You better pray about it. Get plugged into what God wants you to do. That way you can rely on Him to help you to get it done. Instead of me or Bobby or any of the other people, you better rely on God and His strength, because yours will run out. Your strength, your patience, your love, your care, all those things will run out. And by the way, the day that you want to do the least, if you do it, will be the day that you will get blessed the most. God has a wonderful sense of humor. And He loves to watch you rant and rave and get in a fight with your family on the way to church. I'm sure none of you ever do that. You good, God-blessed people. Never. My family and I will fight walking across the parking lot. We don't care. Son, you better get right. I know, Dad, I don't want to come to church. Yeah, my son says that. So does my... Hey, listen, there are days that we don't want to do it.
But we walk across anyhow, and we come into this church house, and that's the day God says, I'm going to bless you today. I get your point. Somebody understand today. Don't go in your strength. Go in God's strength. You go in God's strength, you come to church more. Huh? Because you go in your strength, you'll find an excuse to stay home. It's easy to find them. There are many. Okay? But you go in God's strength, you'll come. You go in God's strength, you might get in a choir. You go in God's strength, you might come out soul winning. You go in God's strength, you might read through your Bible calendar. You go in God's strength, you might do something for the Lord other than warming the pew. If you go in God's strength. And by the way, God is not short of strength ever. God has strength that is unbelievable. God has enough strength for everyone in this room to live the rest of your life in His strength. God's strength will never weaken. God's strength will never go down. God's strength will never go away unless you use your own. God's strength endures for eternity. I don't know how some of you do it. I really don't. I don't know how some of you work 80 hours a week and still come to church and still serve God. I don't know how you do it. You say, well, I'm young and I'm... No, that's going to go away. Keep serving the Lord. Keep serving the Lord in His strength. Where we mess up, and I'm telling you, that's what happens in our life. We mess up when we want to be praised and not He wants to be praised. Tell me I'm wrong. We get in the way a lot. We get in the way of God's blessings a lot. By the way, the Bible teaches us that if we seek the praises of men and we get them, that's our reward. That's the end. It stops there. I love you folks, and I want you to be excited that I'm your associate pastor. I really do. But at the end of the day, I don't want your praises. I want you to praise the Lord. I want me to praise the Lord. And let me tell you, it does feel good to tell somebody that they're loved. But you can tell somebody they're loved and not praise them. I can tell Brother Bobby I love him without saying how wonderful his mustache is. And by the way, it is. You ever seen that thing? I don't want. Matter of fact, it drives me crazy. I'm just going to be honest with you. It drives me crazy. I don't like it. I don't like it. I just don't like it. I don't like it when other people are talked about. I like to praise people myself, but I like them to be praised in the Lord. I don't like it. Because God is doing everything through me, and God is doing everything through you that is any good.
That's right.
I always go back to this verse. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, that's exciting. You say, oh, God. Well, that makes me lame. Yeah, it really does. But understand this. How great is it that God looks down at your flesh that inside dwelleth no good thing, decides to take up residence there, and work and do great and wonderful things through you? How wonderful. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man? What am I? What, good Lord, you go back into my past. What did I do that God looked down and said, man, I'm going to make that kid a preacher someday. Are you kidding me? The attitude that I have from time to time, even now, I can't believe God just said, you know what, fat boy, I'm done with you. I'm going to tell you, God is so good, you need to let Him have your praise. You need to let him be the one that gives you strength. Let Him be the one that gives you opportunity. Let Him be the one that works through you. Let Him be the one, because I'm going to tell you, it's so much better than what you have to offer. Take what you have. Give it to God. Let God use you to do no matter what. It's amazing to me how often we take that out of God's hands. You know what? Colton, you surrendered to preach. I'm going to keep harping on you until you tell me you're not.
but you told me you're called to preach, son. Don't take that out of God's hands. Huh? That went over like a lead balloon. Nobody agreed with me at all. Don't you take that out of God's hands and say, I'm going to be at Western Reserve the rest of my life. You know what you just did? You say, I'm going to go in my own strength, God, not yours. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have a job at Western Reserve. I'm just telling you, be careful that you don't miss out on the opportunity that God gave you to preach His Word. For me to go back now, huh? The Bible talks about that. You revisit your old sin, it's twice as bad as it was before. Let me help you out a little bit. What would we do if we went back to our old life? We just had this talk, because we're dads are going through the same problems. Thank God your daughter's just a little bit behind, but it's coming quick, son. It's coming quick. It's tough when you got pretty daughters. You want to shoot people. You really do. And we talked about how our kids are serving the Lord. I praise the Lord for that. I really do. And if you get sick about me talking about kids serving the Lord, you're going to get sick a lot, because anytime you get teenagers serving God, it sets the whole world on fire. Now, wait a minute. So our kids are serving the Lord, but we remember who we were. We don't deserve them. We don't deserve serving the Lord kids. We just don't deserve it. We're sinners. And by the way, if you think you deserve it, you're going in your own strength. I realize that I have done nothing to this point that is making my daughters or my son serve the Lord. Nothing. Nothing I've done. God has them serving Him, and that's what I want it to be. What would happen if I'd go back to my old life? What would happen if I'd go back to my own strength? What would happen if I'd forsake what God has given me and go back to drinking alcohol? Could you imagine how you'd feel in your heart if you saw me with a Budweiser in my hand getting ready to drink it? Huh? How bad do you think I'd feel? Huh? We often think, I don't know why this is in my heart right now, but God must have put it there. I hope and pray that you don't look back at Egypt. I hope and pray you don't look back at Egypt and say, man, it was better there. God may not treat you that well in your mind, but He's sure treating you a whole lot better than the devil was. He's sure treating you better than getting sick in front of everybody. He's sure treating you better than old dirty, rotten rock and roll music that we have so much we can't get rid of. Why would we want to go back to Egypt? What do you think my kids would do if Daddy went back? What do you think you would do if I went back? Oh, I know I'm just the associate pastor here, but let me tell you, more associate pastors have split churches than I can even shake a stick at. What would happen if I'd go back to Egypt? Let me tell you something. If I go in my own strength, that's the steps I'm taking. I'm taking going backwards. I don't want to go backwards. I want to go forward. Let God have your life. Let God have your strength. Let God be the one that provides that for you. Because He wants to. He says, I'm not worthy. Oh, yes, you are. Just like everybody else. Sinners, saved by grace, used by God. Let Him have your strength. We say, I can't do it. You're right, you can't. But I know a man who can. See, what you got to understand is this. God has a job to do. He picked you and your strength to do it. He's going to give His strength through you to get that job done. Can't explain it. I can't explain how it works out. It's like tithing and having your bills get paid. How did money get in here? Well, the bell ain't rung yet. Bell ain't rung yet, sis. Let me help you out a little bit. You say, I can't pay my bills if I tithe. I've heard that. I understand what you're telling me, but it's wrong. You can't pay your bills if you don't tithe. Because God's going to get His. Mock Him, I dare you. Oh, my soul, don't mock Him. Oh, my soul, don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, my goodness. And by the way, I know a lot of rich folk that have a lot of money. They're not happy. If they're not, see, the Lord provides everything. Oh, man. The Lord provides everything. He's only asking for 10%. He gave you everything. That breath you just took, you stole from God. He gave it to you. I'm going to tell you right now. And by the way, it's a Bible teacher. That's Old Testament. Oh, don't go with the new. Take with the old. It's only 10% in the old. In the New Testament, they brought everything. Unless you want to give everything over, stay with the old and do the 10% that we preach about. By the way, if you don't do it, your household is cursed. That's what the Bible says. Now, you need to take it up with the Bible. I preach Bible. I don't preach what I want, what I think, what I want to do. I preach what the Bible says, and the Bible says 10% is what God's asking for, plus offerings. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe that Bible is telling me a lie. Try God out. Tithe for Him. Give Him what's His. And I'm going to tell you, He'll take care of everything else. I'm not a prosperity preacher. You may not drive in a Cadillac. You may not drive in a Rolls. Some of you are driving Cadillacs. Praise God for that. I know a man who can sell you one. Praise the Lord. But understand this. Understand this. If you cheat God, that's like trying to cheat on the biggest exam of your life. In BBC, you get kicked out. What do you think God's going to do? If you're saved, He ain't going to kick you out, but I'm sure He's going to kick you. Because you're going in your strength, you don't have enough money. By the way, if you can't pay your bills, turn cable off. Oh, man, I better pray. Woo! Woo! Cable anymore is $100 a month. Split that up and give it to God. Get you off the tube, get you in the book. Anyways, all right, go in God's strength. Go in God's strength. Next week we'll go over His forgetfulness. I'm so glad that God will no longer remember our sins and iniquities. God bless. We've got such a wonderful God. Amen? Go in His strength today. Let's go ahead and pray. Colton, stand up and lead us in prayer.